Psalms 51. I've entitled this message, Brokenness That God Can Use. Brokenness That God Can Use. Over the last few days, I would say, the Lord's really kind of burdened my heart over brokenness and how He uses it. And how important it is in our lives. It's something that we might would say we don't necessarily enjoy going through. Periods of brokenness. Times where you feel like you're shattered. You're in pieces. Those are not pleasurable times, not enjoyable times. And as I mentioned probably last Sunday or so, we're kind of in the stage where you come off the adrenaline rush of everything new and to some degree excitement, and then you start looking back and you're like, man, what in the world happened? What did we just do? And just the period of brokenness throughout it all. But the Lord uses it, and the Lord was reminding me of that this week. So I want to share it with you this evening. Psalm 51. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house once again on this midweek service. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. I hope to be a help, hope to be a blessing to your people. As we look at brokenness, I believe you've helped me, and I want to help them through what you've helped me with. In Jesus' name, amen. Oftentimes, being broken is viewed as a negative, because oftentimes something that we would consider negative has placed us in a place of being broken. But I want to remind you of something tonight. In order for anything or any area in our life to break, some area was a weak spot to begin with. And it's our Lord's desire to use His children for His honor and glory. And that's hard to do if we're characterized by much weakness. So the Lord observes us and He knows what our weaknesses are. And He breaks us in those places in order to strengthen us. And to not only to be able to use us, but to use us greatly. And over the last few days, I've been meditating on being broken and God's blessings that have come out of being broken. Every time I have ever found myself broken, on the backside of it, God has used that brokenness to make me stronger as a result. And He's also blessed that brokenness. So before we move on, remember Psalm 51 and verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I want you to know that before God can use someone mightily, He often breaks them deeply. It's our breaking of pride. It's the breaking of self-sufficiency. Breaking us from besetting sins in order to produce humility, surrender, and dependence upon Him. I know I can tell you by experience, many of you can too, or all of you, realizing you don't know as much as you thought is a hard place to land. Realizing your plans aren't as good as you thought is a hard place to land. Realizing you aren't all you thought yourself to be is a hard place to land. It's a hard place to land, and it leads to brokenness. And tonight we're going to look at some examples within the pages of Scripture. These examples are some of God's most choice servants who didn't wake up one day as just one of God's most choice servants, but they experienced brokenness along the way. I listened to a message once by Clarence Sexton saying that he had heard about all these other preachers who had been broken prior to God using them. And he remembered thinking that he wanted to be the exception. He wanted to be used of God without the breaking. He wanted to be used of God without ever being broken. He didn't want any tragedy. He didn't want to have to go through any tragedy. Didn't want to have to deal with being broken. He just wanted to be used of God. But he learned in life and in ministry that God would only use broken men and broken women. When you consider a horse, a wild horse, a horse that hasn't been broken is just about only good for eating and drinking, fertilizing the ground, and taking up space. A horse that hadn't been broken lives off the provision of another while contributing very little, if anything. A wild horse will live off of its owner and never become useful to its owner unless the owner becomes that horse's master. And God will not have us to be this way. So he breaks us to make us strong and useful for him. Now, when I think back, reflect on Brother Sexton's remarks on brokenness, that's a human response. We want the good times without the bad. We want high cotton, but no rain. We want the mountains, but not the valleys. And we want the ups and no downs. But God cannot use any man or woman who is not first broken. It's been said, at our end is when God begins. Reaching our end is a tough place. Reaching a place where we say, Lord, I'm nothing. I have nothing to offer. I can't fix anything. I can't fix anyone, is when we see the Lord work. When we get out of the way and we turn everything over to him, we get to watch him work. Look at examples tonight. Consider Jacob. Jacob was broken in order to become Israel. Jacob would have never became Israel had he not first become broken. If you reference Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 31, you know the story. Jacob wrestled with God all night. Could go without saying, but that's not a characteristic of a man who is broken. Broken men and women do not fight against their master. In this battle that lasted all night between Jacob and our Lord was a battle of wills. It was Jacob's will and God's will, Jacob's power and God's power, Jacob's self-reliance, God's provision. We could go on and on tonight with the battles taking place here between the Lord and Jacob that lasted all night. And by the way, you never battle God over just one thing. There's always more. I was Jacob. Maybe some of you can relate. God had to break Jacob. God touched the hollow of his thigh, leaving him limping. And I say tonight, God will touch you in just the right place to get your attention. And that may seem extreme to us. It may have seemed extreme to Jacob. But after the fact, Jacob was thankful that God loved him enough to break him. Jacob's will had to be broken. Jacob's pride had to be broken. Jacob's self-reliance had to be broken. Jacob experienced a great brokenness as a result of physically and spiritually wrestling with God, but it ultimately brought surrender. And what was the result of that? A name change. His name was changed to Israel, which means a prince with God. Genesis 32 and verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Jacob's name went from supplanter, deceiver, essentially a manipulator, to a prince with God. But he had to first become broken. Another Old Testament character that comes to mind is Joseph. It's Genesis chapters 37, 39 through 41. Betrayed by his brothers. He was sold as a slave. He was wrongfully imprisoned. I ask you tonight, have you ever been betrayed by those who should have had your best interest in mind? Joseph knows what that was like. Could you imagine being in a deep, dark pit where you were placed by your family? Your very own brothers. This is brokenness. Now, by the way, Jacob didn't help the situation. All the brothers knew that Joseph was the favorite. The favorite child would draw the hatred of other siblings. Case in point right here. But Joseph, he was thrown in the pit by his brothers and then sold into slavery. The brothers had the spirit of Cain, no doubt. But God used this brokenness within Joseph. Joseph also falsely imprisoned as he was framed by Potiphar's wife. A man was falsely accused and was imprisoned as a result. He was a broken man many times over. But brokenness leads to greater spiritual strength. But also, it's a dying to the flesh and a dying to self. It's the process of life and the trials of life which leads to brokenness. You know, it's brokenness by degrees. Yeah, the Lord broke me throughout the course of the Marines. And on the backside of the Marines, yes, the Lord broke me. But he's had to break me time and time and time again since. And that's what happens through the trials and the processes of life. And when we find ourselves in a state of being broken, the Lord uses it. It brings about an increase of God in us and on us and through us. Joseph experienced a great brokenness. This brokenness, it stripped him of pride. It stripped him of his dreams. But what was the result? God raised him up to rule Egypt and to save his family. To be an example of God's love, of God's mercy, God's forgiveness. And grace. Now, I tell you, you better believe God had to break Joseph. For Joseph to be able to face the very ones that threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. Had Joseph faced his family in pride or self-reliance, there would have been bitterness, there would have been anger. There would have been frustration. There would have been resentment and probably a lack of help. He would have had an eye for an eye mentality, a tooth for a tooth mentality. And I tell you today, with this thought in mind, it doesn't matter what people do to you. If you allow the Lord to use it to break you, you can respond like Joseph on the back end of it. And then God gets all the glory. Can I tell you the times that somebody did something to me and I was riled up about it. Riled up about it. But allow the Lord to use it to humble us, to break us. Because when this happens, we get all swelled up with pride, honestly. We all know where our toes are and we know when they get stepped on. We just do. We know where we are and we get bumped into or pushed around or poked and prodded or somebody steps on our toes. We know about it. We know about it. And what's sometimes the first thing we do? We get all swelled up in offense and all swelled up in pride. I'm me. You're not going to do that to me. I'm me. You're not going to talk to me like that. But if we die to self and we humble ourselves, and when we respond like Christ, then God gets all the glory. See, people know what they deserve based off what they did to you. They're not stupid. They've seen how other people have responded to them under the same circumstances. Because people that are like that, they're like that all the time. And they're not like that to just you. They like that to about everybody. And they've had the negative response from people time and time and time again. And then they'll say, you know what? I did this to that person. And they responded this way to me, which was different than the way other people respond to me. You see, God used this trial, this circumstance in Joseph's life to humble him, to break him. in order for him to be able to respond in the way he did. Remember Genesis verse 50, or Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. I love this verse. I think of it often. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. You know, God will allow the evilness of society, the evilness of culture, the evilness of friends at times, the evilness of family, the evilness of co-workers to gain some victories in battle in your life and mine. But through Christ, if you allow him to work, you will win the war. Joseph won in the end. Not his brothers. Joseph won in the end. And it's up to you and I who we allow to win the war in our life. You can hang on to stuff, and the people who hurt you will win the war over your whole life. Or you can surrender, you can let go, and you can allow the Lord to break you and allow the Lord to humble you, and you will win the war over them in the long run. Now, that's tough to do. It is. And I'm never insensitive to the stories that some people tell, because people got stories in church and in life in general of things that have happened to them, unspeakable things. We wouldn't even go into it. But they've won the war over those people that done those things to them because they let it go. And they wouldn't hang on to it, and they wouldn't allow it to destroy them. Think about Moses. You could reference Exodus chapters 2 and 3. Moses broken in the desert. Moses went from a prince of Egypt to a shepherd in Midian for 40 years. You talk about a demotion in man's eyes. Moses was demoted. And perhaps in his eyes it would appear to be a demotion also. But a demotion in man's eyes very well could be a promotion in God's eyes. You know, I am right where I believe the Lord has our family, right in the center of God's will. And when I was seeking counsel, or not necessarily seeking counsel, just telling people what the Lord was doing and where we were going, it's like, where's Jacksonville? Jacksonville, Texas, where is that? Where are you going? Now, most of the people that was in my circle that I was getting counsel from saw me pastoring in a larger area, saw me pastoring a larger church. They thought I could handle it. They thought I could do it. To be honest with you, I saw that myself. A larger area, bigger church. So to some degree, to be honest, I felt in some ways like I was going a few steps backwards. Just to be honest with you. And then the people in my ears telling me the same thing. But you know what? I had to die to myself. The people who were telling me those things, I had to die to them too, and die to what they were telling me, and just focus on the Lord. And you know what? And not for a second do I today believe that I have been demoted. There's a promotion coming. I believe it. And y'all going to be involved. Y'all going to be in on it. Now, I praise the Lord for that. But you know what? Oftentimes, and even Moses might have found himself in this place where it looked like he had been demoted. And sometimes in man's eyes, what looks like a demotion is a promotion. Moses was learning brokenness. Before Moses could ever lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he had to leave Egypt. God was not for the act of murder that Moses committed, but God in his sovereignty used the murder that Moses committed to be Moses' way out of Egypt that Moses needed. Moses had to flee Egypt. Again, he had to get out of Egypt before he could ever lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. D.L. Moody said this, and sometimes it burns in my mind. Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody. in 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. Moses had to deal with brokenness. You see, had the Lord just took Moses right from Egypt, did this, that, and the other, then people would have been like, oh, it was his status. It would have been, oh, because he was in Egypt. He was real high up in Egypt. That's why he was able to do all this. He was relying on his connections. He was relying on his influence. He was relying on who's who. And God wouldn't have got any glory. But God took him out of Egypt, put him in the wilderness for 40 years to humble him, to break him. His pride, his ambition was crushed. What was the result? He became a humble leader, fit to lead God's people. But then look at what also he became. Numbers 12 and verse 3. And the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So through brokenness, God took a man who had murder within his heart to a man who was meek above all the men on the face of the earth. You know, some of the preachers I like listening to the most are the sermons of preachers that they preached in the last few years of their life. I tell you, the grace of God is just all over them. Humility. They're just clothed in humility. Think about Curtis Hudson. He preached this, he preached a message a few months before he passed. I listen to that one sometimes. Listen to Lester Roloff. Although he died younger than some. Especially the ones who knew their time was coming short. Think about Lee Robertson, his last messages. Bobby Robertson, his last messages. It's amazing what life and being broken, what it does. Over the course of life, over the course of ministry. Through brokenness, again, God took a man who had murder within his heart to a man who was meek above all the men on the face of the earth. Doesn't mean they didn't have fight. They just learned to channel that fight. Some of these preachers I just named, they were still fighters when they died. They just learned not to fight over the wrong stuff. When you're young, you'll fight over everything. It don't matter. You'll fight over everything. These old preachers, they learn what to fight over, what not to fight over. They learn what's little. They learn what not to sweat over. You get counsel from them, they're like, I quit sweating over that 30 years ago. They're still sweating over something else, but it's usually something of more major proportion. Not something little. They've learned not to sweat the small stuff. How about Peter? Peter broken by denial. We won't do a deep dive into Peter as we already have. Peter denied Christ, wept bitterly. He was broken, self-confidence shattered. Peter was haughty at times. He was prideful at times. He felt himself to be above others at times. A man that was constantly finding himself in the flesh, putting his foot in his mouth. He was emotionally supercharged. He had no filter. He had little restraint. His life was filled with knee-jerk reactions to instantly regret it. Not years later, moments later. Peter was filled with what they called in the Marines, good initiative, bad judgment. I heard that a lot, by the way. I heard that a lot. Good initiative, bad judgment. I'm going to give y'all an example here this evening. It just come to my mind. We was in boot camp and we were crossing the field. And, or was it school infantry? It was school infantry. And we were coming up on some houses and we were going to go clear the house. And I heard fire in one of the buildings. So you know what I did? In my mind, I start going Rambo. I leave the formation. I leave my group. And I start going towards that house. And I got called everything under the sun and stuff when I started doing that. Said I was going to get killed and all kinds of stuff. And you know what? They was right. Good initiative. Bad judgment. You go with your boys. You don't go by yourself. Had I done that in Iraq, I'd been dead for sure. So I learned it in the school of infantry that you stay with your boys. You'll get there together. You don't leave them to go. It's one of those examples. Good initiative. Bad judgment. Peter was filled with that at times, which means right fight, but the wrong way. Right idea, wrong follow through. And again, I heard that so much in the Marines. Peter had to die to Peter. Peter had to become broken. After that season in the life of Peter that we looked at, after the day of Pentecost, you see a different Peter. You truly see a different Peter. Oftentimes, because we can so easily relate to Peter and his behavior prior to being broken, we liken ourselves to him, but we fail to pattern ourselves at times of the Peter after the Peter who became broken. And not who Peter was prior to being broken. I asked the Lord yesterday because I recognize it. I recognize through preparing this message that I have more breaking to do. I do. I have more. I know I do. Am I going to enjoy it when it comes? No. But I know I do. I know I do. I know at times there's still too much Chad. I know it. Sometimes something happens and there he is. He's still there. Still in the way. If you resemble Peter more prior to his breaking than after, then you have more breaking in order. God took a man who needed to be broken and broke him. And the result was a bold preacher at Pentecost preaching the resurrection of Christ, where 3,000 souls came to know Christ. Had Peter never become broken under the mighty hand of God, it'd have been someone else on the day of Pentecost. Sometimes we act like God suffers if it's not you and I doing whatever it is that we're doing. No, God just raised up somebody else. It's you and I that suffer. It's you and I that miss out on what God has for us. And I learned that when I was in the Marines. I knew when I was out of God's will and in the Marines, there were people that were still singing, there were people that were still preaching, still traveling, doing the Lord's work. Just wasn't me. Wasn't me. God knows how to either use us or sideline us and use somebody else. Well, look at Paul. We're wrapping up. You could reference Acts 9, 1 through 9. He encounters the Lord on the Damascus Road. Physical blindness revealed his spiritual blindness. And what was the result? Transformed from persecutor to apostle. Acts 9 and verse 16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And lastly, Jesus Christ. We're truly saving the best example of being broken for last. Last Sunday evening, we observed the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is doing remembrance of me.'" Brokenness in Christ was revealed in a very similar way to us. If you reference Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So notice this, you and I will not be characterized by these things unless we're broken. When you see the phrase, let this mind be in you, it's only possible if you're broken. And Jesus was broken before the cross, which ultimately led him to the cross. But notice these things. Number one, made himself of no reputation. Two, took upon him the form of a servant. Three, was made in the likeness of men. Four, being found in fashion as a man. And five, he humbled himself. And six, became obedient unto death. Seven, even the death of the cross. So it is the brokenness of Christ that led you and I to be sitting here tonight, saved and on our way to heaven. It was through his brokenness. See, God does something out of brokenness. It's not easy to go through. It's oftentimes very painful. Sometimes, I'm sure you could testify today, sometimes you don't know how broken you were until he starts putting you back together. Sometimes we're just in a place and people's like, how you doing? I'm all right. No, you're not. You're shattered. And sometimes we literally believe that we are all right. We don't know how bad it is. Then the Lord starts putting us back together. Then we start realizing how long it takes him. Like, all right, yeah, I see how it is. We'll look in closing at some truths on brokenness and usefulness. Brokenness brings humility. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So humbleness leads to being exalted in due time. Brokenness makes room for God's power. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, where Paul says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. We don't like weakness, but we like perfect strength. And God breaks the bless. I saw this somewhere, Luke 22:19. Jesus broke the bread before he blessed and gave it. There's a principle there. What God breaks, he multiplies. So God is the master potter. Sometimes he must break the vessel in order to remake it for a greater purpose. Jeremiah 18 and verse 6, O house of Israel, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. So I ask you tonight, has God been breaking something in you? Maybe it could be pride. Maybe it could be plans. Maybe it could be independence. Sometimes we decide what we're going to do. And we don't ask the Lord what his thoughts is on the matter. And the Lord has to break us. How does he do that? A lot of times by failed plans. I can't help but wonder sometimes, how much would go better in our life if we allow the Lord to do the planning. Are you willing to be broken tonight so that he can fully use you? Again, I don't have a doubt in my mind that the Lord would desire to do something with us here. But he's going to have all of us from here on back to be broken, to be ready to be used, to be humble, to be ready to get out of the way. That's what it's going to take. It's what it has to be in order for the Lord to use us. And you know what? We don't have to ask for it. It's coming anyway. The Lord knows the areas. He knows the areas of weakness. He knows where we struggle. He knows where he would like to strengthen us at. He knows that it's going to take brokenness for us to fulfill his will in our lives and in this church. And he's going to bring it. We don't have to ask for it. He's going to bring it. And then we thank him for it later. It's kind of like child rearing in a lot of ways. You fight your kids until they leave the house. And then once they leave the house, a lot of times they'll look back and say, thank you for fighting me. I didn't like you a lot of times for fighting me and not letting me do what I wanted to do and be who I wanted to be. But thank you for fighting me. Because I see what some other people are, and I'd be them if you didn't fight me. So on the backside of it, well, there's blessings as a result. And as parents, we see down the road. You say, you know what? I'm doing this right now and you don't like it. Because we know what it's going to produce and it's going to be a blessing to you later. And the Lord does that with us. He'll lead us to do things we don't want to do. He'll make us uncomfortable. He'll put us in situations where we feel broken, all for our ultimate good down the road. And we can learn our lessons quick and move on. Or it can take a long time. I've been on both sides of that one. I've taken really long times. And then there's been times where the Lord said this, and I said, yes, Lord, I'll do that. So I've been on both sides. And I believe in a lot of ways, if we surrender, sometimes, kind of like what I tell addicts, a lot of people say addicts have to hit bottom in order for them to turn around. It's like, no, you can recognize what path you're on and listen to the people that's around you that's telling you that you're going to the bottom and go ahead and surrender your heart to the Lord and get off that road. You don't have to hit bottom. But sometimes we do. And sometimes we got to find ourselves in a state of brokenness because we wouldn't get off the roads that we own. But I'm glad the Lord gets the glory in the long run, uses our brokenness. You see it in David's life. David was broken. He was crushed. He had committed adultery and he was crushed. He was crushed. David was in pieces. David was shattered in pieces as a result. And God put him back together. Even after sin, even after compromise, God put him back together. And we serve the same God. If you're broken, he wants to put you back together. There's a reason why you're broken. There's a reason he either broke you or allowed something to break you. There's a reason. But I promise you what he's going to do as a result of being broken, we'll look back and we'll say, thank you for breaking me. Might not necessarily like the event that broke me in hindsight, but I'm thankful for what you did through it. I pray I look back after years of ministry and be able to thank the Lord for what the trials, and they've been many, has done in me. But you got to allow trials in life to shape you. You got to allow them to mold you. Allow the Lord to use those things. It's what we got to do.